Well, as a congregation, we've been fasting and praying this week, and I'm really calling us to spend the next couple of weeks in fasting and prayer. It's your decision how you're fasting, maybe what it is that you're in the way of eating and drinking that you're giving up, so that's between you and the Lord. But during this time, we've been really seeking after God, God's will for our lives, God's direction for our lives. We've been praying, just extra prayers for our family, for our other responsibilities, for our church family. And I want to share some things today, and I don't do this lightly, but I do as the leader of this congregation. I do expect God to give me words that would lead and guide and direct us. I mean, how can we have faith if we don't know what God is saying, if we don't know what God is speaking? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and it takes faith to please God. So, you know, we'd otherwise be stumbling around out in the darkness, or just kind of finding our own way without a specific word from God. And so I have four words, actually, four very specific words that I would like us to focus on this year that I think is an opportunity for all of us this year. The four words that have come to me more than any other words this year are hope, increase, restoration, and joy. So why don't you join with me this morning in opening up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Hope, increase, restoration, and joy. Galatians 6, and verse 6, when you found it, say, got it. All right, let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Let him who has taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let's pray. Father, I do pray this year that you would grant to each and every one of us the knowledge of your will, Lord, so that we could please you in every good thing. So, Lord, that we would be strengthened with your might, that we would be encouraged with your hope. Lord, that we would be increased in every good way this year, that you would restore what has been stolen from so many people this year, and that we would walk in the joy of the Lord that you proclaimed in Nehemiah 8:10, that is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, I pray that all of us make better choices this year, that we would sow to the Spirit instead of sowing to our flesh. And that we would not grow weary. That we would not grow weary in well-doing. Father God, I'm afraid for many that have given up hope. They've grown weary. They've grown tired. They're worn out. But Father God, I pray that we would not faint, that we would not give up, that we would not throw in the towel, so to speak, but that we would be strengthened today to stand one more day until we see the victory that you promise each and every one of us. We thank you for it, Father God, today. We believe and receive your best for our lives this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you will, please. Very interesting that the Bible says, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. And so it's vitally important, while we do, I believe, have a very hopeful, hope-filled days before us, that God is going to increase the good things in our life, that He's going to restore what's been stolen from us, and that our life could be marked with great measures of joy. But I also see an opportunity to go the other direction just as easily. It really is somewhat dependent upon what are we willing to invest in, what are we willing to sow in. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap spiritual things. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. So when I think about sowing to the Spirit, I think about things like giving. That's sowing to the Spirit. I think about serving. Serving other people, because Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And He said, if you want to be great, then choose to be a servant to all. That's sowing to the Spirit. That I'm here to serve other people. I'm here to be the blessing to other people. I'm going to live my life to be a blessing to other people. And the fourth thing I think about in sowing to the Spirit is believing. I'm afraid some of us have given up believing. I wish I could believe that. I wish I could wrap my faith around that. I wish that were true. But I'm telling you, don't let anybody steal your believing. Because sowing to the flesh is withholding, is holding back, is hoarding and saying, it's mine. I'm not going to give this. I work too hard for this. Or my time's too valuable to give up to somebody else. And we withhold. And in Proverbs it says that, you know, there's one who withholds and it leads to poverty. You know, trying to hang on to your money and trying to hang on to your time and trying to just to hang on is sowing to your own flesh. Your flesh is demanding. Sowing to the Spirit is serving, but sowing to the flesh says, what about me? It's so demanding. What about, I mean, people haven't recognized me. People, you know, aren't doing enough for me. When's it going to be my turn? Sowing to the Spirit is being a blessing, but sowing to the flesh is agitating. It seems like some people live their life just to agitate and stir things up and whoop it up. I mean, if there's not a controversy in their life, you know, it doesn't seem like they're happy. I love the people, and forgive me if you've posted this because I'm not thinking of anybody specifically. But I love the people that post things on their social media. Like, I just hate all these drama people that are around me. Do you ever chuckle at those? Like I do? Because you're thinking, I don't know anybody that's more of a drama person than the person posting this post right now. I mean, it seems like they just live to agitate. They just stir things up. I mean, if there's gossip going around, they know about it. Come on, if there's some kind of controversy in the community, they know about it. Why? Because they're always involved in agitating. And I'm telling you, that's sowing to the flesh. I'm preaching better than you're amening this morning. Sometimes I have to remind myself of my job is to lead us and guide us into being disciples of Jesus Christ. And we all have a flesh, and our flesh is so demanding. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what nonsense our own stinking flesh can stir up. And we want better things for our life. We want to walk in the blessing. We want to walk in peace. We want to have hope. We want to be increased. We want things to be restored. We want to live in joy. But I'm telling you, if you keep sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, it leads to life. The life that Jesus came. The opposite of believing then is questioning and distrusting. I'd rather be a believing person. I'd rather be naive and believe. I'd rather be filled with hope and joy. Several years ago, I don't know what was going on. My brain doesn't work very well in reverse. I'm always kind of looking forward. But I remember it was a particularly challenging year. And I remember just making a pact with Michelle. You know, we're just going to have fun this year. I don't care who's mad at us. I don't care, you know, who we've irritated. I don't know, you know, what the devil's stolen from us or anything else. Let's just make an agreement that this is just going to be a peaceful, joy-filled, we're going to have a good time no matter what kind of a year. And I'm just thinking, and I'm seeing some nodding because I know what some of you have gone through last year. Why don't we just make that pact as a church family? Let's just have a good time this year. That doesn't sound like good preaching. Like, I mean, let's just have a good time, you know. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. No. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness and gentleness. The deeds of the flesh are all that other junk. Why not just make a pact? I mean, Jesus said that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What everybody through their advertisement has been promising you has come up empty. Just getting hammered or losing consciousness or buying one more toy. At some point, the next new upgrade of your latest, greatest phone is pretty hollow. So why don't we just make a pact this year that we're just going to have a good time? Like, let's not be agitated and not be a pot stirrer. Let's just believe instead of questioning and distrusting. Let's just give instead of holding back. Let's serve instead of demanding this year. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. Because there's a promise that your due season is coming. How many of you are due? Come on. How many of you absolutely are due? Like you've been in the line for a long time, and it seems like it should be your turn by now. How many of you are due this morning? I mean, I'm very happy for my friends that get blessed. I'm very happy about the wonderful reports I mean that I hear from other churches and other pastor friends of mine. And I really do rejoice and applaud. And I'm not jealous of them when wonderful things happen to them. But sometimes I just think, it's my turn. And that sounds selfish and demanding, doesn't it? But we have a promise. If you keep sowing to the Spirit, you'll reap life. If you keep doing good, your due season will come, because God is not mocked, that whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So I'm just saying, let's keep sowing to the Spirit this year, because your time is coming. Your due season is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, I think maybe you're next. Look at your other neighbor and say, I think maybe you're next after that. Well, that would include all of us. But let me say something. Expect opposition. I say, expect opposition. If this is a year for hope and this is a year for increase and restoration and joy, expect some opposition to that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. You're right there in Galatians 6. It's just maybe one turn, maybe two turns of the pages. Verse 10 says, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the schemings, against the tricks, against the plans of the devil. In other words, if God has a plan or a will for your life this week, wouldn't it make sense that the devil also has a plan for your life this year? I mean, if we have an opportunity to sow to the Spirit, we have an opportunity to sow to the flesh. Now, if God has a plan and a will and I need to seek that, I mean, Colossians 1, I prayed in that opening prayer, part of Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. He prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So in other words, that if we're not filled with the knowledge of God's will, we're not really seeking after the will of God, then we could be fulfilling maybe our own will or even the devil's will for our life. I mean, we do believe in the power of darkness. Colossians 1 says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated. We've been transferred into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. But I'm telling you what, the devil still has a plan for your life. Expect some opposition. So here's what we have to do. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. All of this protective forces of God, all of these protective principles, all of these protective truths that belong to us as a Christ follower, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That evil day is that day of temptation. That day when you're being so tempted to sow to your flesh, have this as a flesh attack, and just have a meltdown. I always do the right thing. I give. And your flesh goes, I'm so tired of doing the right thing. I want to do the wrong thing for once. Don't give in. You're under attack. There's a better word for you. Those words are hope, increase, restoration, and joy. And the devil would love to steal that from you this year. So having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. And then it leads us into this time of prayer, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Your due season is coming. But if this is a year of hope, you're going to have to resist being pessimistic this year. I say, if this is a year of hope, then I'm telling you what, you're going to have all these pessimistic thoughts that come against you. All of these pessimistic people are probably going to find you this year. If this is a year of increase, then there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to be stolen from. Your joy to be stolen from. Your hope to be stolen from. Your money to be stolen from. Your relationships. I mean, it's a time to put a guard, having done all to stand, stand. Because long-term relationships could come under attack this year. If God's wanting to increase you, then the devil is certainly wanting to decrease you. If this is a year of restoration, then we're going to have plenty of opportunities to feel injured this year, to be hurt this year, to be offended this year. Look, I've been studying this end time stuff for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, because I'm going to teach the four different views of the book of Revelation Wednesday, and guys, it's challenging. But one of the things, you know, there's a lot of common denominators in every view. One of those common denominators would be that in the latter days there'd be times of stress, that in the latter days many people will be offended. In the latter days, many that used to love the Lord, the love of many will wax cold, the Bible says. And so I'm telling you, while this is a year of restoration, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to be offended this year. You're going to have plenty of opportunities, come on somebody, to feel injured this year and to be diminished. But I'm telling you, you keep sowing to the Spirit and you'll reap life. You keep sowing to the Spirit and your due season is coming. Say, it's my due season. So if this is a year for joy, you're going to have to resist self-pity. I said, if this is a year for joy, you're going to have to resist self-pity and that accompanying depression. Having done all to stand, stand. It's always too early to quit. It's always too early to give up. It's always harmful to have that flesh meltdown and rebel against God, because you don't know how close you might really be to your due season. That day where you feel like, I can't do this anymore, is the closest you've ever been to your due season, to your harvest coming in. You've been sowing, 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 sowing to the Spirit. And God is not mocked, that whatever you sow, you will reap. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Your due season is coming. So expect to be attacked emotionally, relationally, financially, or even physically this year, but you keep standing. You keep sowing to the Spirit. You keep yourself fit spiritually through prayer and believing. I said through prayer and believing. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our marriage. We owe it to our family. We owe it to our community. We owe it to our church to be spiritually fit this year. Because the more fit that you are when you're under attack. I mean, I don't watch near as much sports as I used to. But in this season, you know, college bowl season and NFL playoffs, do you guys ever cringe when you see these adult men running as fast as they can, hurling themselves at each other and colliding, and you think, wow, I don't know if I could even bring my body up off the ground if I got hit that hard. And aren't you fascinated that they just seem to brush themselves off, go back to the huddle, and are anxious to do it again? Why are they able to do that again and again and again? Because they're physically fit and strong and able to do so. They can keep taking that pounding again and again and again because they have prepared themselves for that kind of a battle. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of watching people get knocked out of the game, get knocked out over and over and over again spiritually. Because we act like we're so naive, like we're so shocked that we have an enemy that's coming against us. And when he attacks us, we just get knocked out of the game and we don't reap all of the good sowing that we've been sowing because we had this flesh meltdown and we felt so offended. We felt, come on somebody, we just decide, I'm tired of this. I'm not doing it anymore. But your due season's coming. I said, your due season is coming and you gave up too early. One of the problems is you didn't keep yourself spiritually fit. Probably the primary reason why we're in this season, this 21 days of fasting and prayer, is because we have been so out of shape spiritually that we needed to kickstart our year again by giving attention, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because there's so much better for us than what we've been receiving. And so many of us have just had these flesh meltdowns and we've been reaping the whirlwind. We've been sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. We've been sowing to the flesh and we've been reaping corruption, and there's something better for you. It's going to take faith and patience. James chapter 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It is going to require some patience. Different seeds take different amounts of time to germinate, to grow, and to produce fruit. Some produce rather quickly. You can plant a garden in the spring, and you can be eating the fruit of that garden, the produce of that garden, you know, in several weeks, even that summer. So some of our other crops, you plant those in the spring, and they're harvested, you know, the next fall. But, you know, there are some seeds that lay in the ground for years before they produce. You think it's gone. You think it's hopeless. And yet, that seed is still at work. It's still doing what it was designed to do. And then suddenly one day, it shoots up through the ground and it begins to grow and it begins to produce. There's a certain type of bamboo that lays dormant for almost 10 years. And then suddenly it just bursts up through the soil and it grows like, you know, exponentially and grows very tall all in one season. You think suddenly. You know, it's sort of like these singers and actors that are suddenly discovered. Like they're this new wonder. And they're an overnight sensation. You ever see those happen? And that person's thinking, this was the longest night that has ever been, because I've been working on this craft. I've been working on this thing for 14 years. It's just now suddenly somebody recognized that talent. And I'm telling you, it's too early to quit. It's too early to give up, because it's faith and patience. Hebrews chapter 6, would you throw that up for me, please? Hebrews chapter 6 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and, everybody say it, patience, inherit the promises. Some things are just going to take patience, but your due season is coming. Somebody say it, my due season is coming. Don't give up. Can I give you some predictions for our church this year? Some things I absolutely, completely believe that God is going to do in our church family this year. I want to announce these things so that we would have faith for them. I want to announce these things so that we would continue to sow in the Spirit. I want to announce these things so that we can believe God together, so that we can pray together and seek the face of God together and see these things accomplished together in our church family. But I believe that this year there's going to be a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will operate in greater measure in our church body. If you want a reference for that, look at not right now, but write it down. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church that had gathered together in anticipation of the words of Jesus, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and Peter stood up and preached a message from the prophet Joel, and he said, "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." I believe that this year the Lord is going to use some of you in ways that you never even have dreamed. That God is going to put something in your heart to do for Him. And this time next year, you're going to look back and say, I could not have even dreamed how God would have used me this year to be a blessing to other people and for His kingdom. I believe that others, sad to say, will lose faith and turn away from God, turn away from family, and turn away from their friends. But I also believe that our church family in Milan, how many of you know we planted a church this past year in Milan? It's about 6 months old now, and more or less there's 100 people that come to our church location in Milan every week. That's a give God the glory moment. I said, that's a great big amen from God moment. So just go ahead and do that. Say, man, thank you, Lord, for that. But I believe this year we'll experience slow but steady growth as we learn to become a real family, a real church family. It's quite a unique situation in Milan. There's how many different nationalities? 28 different nationalities that live in Milan and work in Milan. And bringing that together, there's been a lot of distrust. There's been a lot of disunity. There's been a lot of church splitting in Milan. And we're just there for the long haul. Amen. So we're looking for slow and steady growth as we learn how to be a church family together in Milan. Somebody say amen to that. Some of you may realize this, that we've been exploring, as a matter of fact, we've been doing the heavy lifting and what I would call the plowing the back 40. When Michelle and I lived up on the farm when we were first married, we took over the family farming operation. There was a 40-acre pasture that we didn't really use for a pasture because it was so detached from the rest of the farm. We did get a little hay off of it, so we decided to plow that up and put it into soybeans. And I'm just telling you, the plowing was hard on that back 40 with an old four-bottom plow. And you know, you'd trip that thing, it'd get all, you know, balled up with the sod, and you'd have to go out there and kick the sod out of it and take something, scrape stuff out, and every once in a while it'd just flip up because you'd hit some big stump or root in the ground and so forth. But we plowed. We diligently plowed that 40, and then we dissed it up, and then we planted soybeans in that 40 acres. And we've been doing that in the community of Cameron. We've been doing some plowing over there, and we've been planting some seeds in Cameron. And we're going to launch a new church location in Cameron this year. Let me tell you about Cameron. Let me tell you about what the Spirit of God is saying to me about Cameron. We're going to establish a new church location in Cameron that will absolutely explode in growth and cause a great stir in that community. It's going to explode in growth. Absolutely explode. This time next year, when we're having this kind of a day, it would not surprise me. Won't surprise me at all if there was 150 or 200 people in our Cameron location by this time next year. As a matter of fact, this is just going to be a year of growth for our church. We're going to add probably 150 to 300 people to our church family in our three locations in 2015. This will be a year of great joy for those who keep their eyes on Jesus and off of themselves and off of other people. Can I say that again? This will be a year of great joy for those who keep their eyes on Jesus and off of themselves and off of other people. Your due season is coming. Man, I'm telling you, I'm due a due season. How about you? How many of you have been sowing good seeds for really long time? I don't mean you've been perfect. We've all had our flesh meltdown moments. But more or less, we've been sowing to the Spirit. We have been generous. We have been giving. Come on, we have been serving. Come on, we've been living our life to be a blessing to other people. We have been believing. Anybody like that? Can anybody identify with that? I mean, overall, more or less, that's been you for a long time. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Your due season, our due season is coming. Can you say amen to that? Some, I'm afraid, will wallow in self-pity and become bitter, miserable wretches this year. Poke your neighbor and said, I hope that's not you. Point to yourself and say, it's not going to be me. Those who open the door to bitterness will suffer much loss and sink into depression. But here in this church, we will continue to be outflow oriented. You see, there's the Dead Sea in Israel. How many of you have heard of the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea has the Jordan River that flows down into it, but then it's the only body of water like this in the world. It's a unique body of water in the world. It has no outflow. It has no outlet. For all that life-giving flow that's coming into it, it doesn't seek to be a blessing downriver. Thus, it's known as the Dead Sea because it receives, but it doesn't give. This church has always been outflow-oriented. We've always been about being a blessing to others. We're not here just to be blessed or just to take care of our own needs or just to minister to ourselves. Man, if God has blessed us, it's to be a blessing. We have the nation of Israel as our example. When they sought to be a blessing to the nations around them, they continued to be blessed of the Lord. When they became self-focused and inward-focused and looking at each other, and they became bitter and they became jealous and they became suspicious and they became questioning, they always diminished. But if this is a year of increase, then it's going to be a great year of outflow. Instead of withholding, instead of demanding, instead of agitating, instead of questioning, come on somebody, we're going to give and we're going to serve and we're going to be a blessing and we're going to believe. freely, you have received freely. I said we've received freely, that therefore it's our responsibility to give. We exist to connect people with God and to connect Him with His church family. I wrote this down. Many will become mentors this year to those who are younger or less experienced. Some of you are tremendous dads, but there's some younger dads that are struggling. And some of you are wonderful wives, but there's some that are really struggling on how to be a wife to their husband. And some are very experienced in the faith, and yet some are just beginning. I'm not setting up a program. This isn't a new program at Cornerstone Church. I'm just saying the Spirit of God is going to direct you to be an outflow to others. And God's going to direct you to individuals that you're going to seek out to be a blessing to them this year. Freely you've received, freely let's give. Let that resonate in your heart a little bit and just pray, Lord, direct my steps. We're going to be others focused. This house will always be filled with the laughter and joy of children and teenagers. Always. There's wonderful opportunities for you to work. How many of you know that we have more or less 150 young people that meet over in that youth center every Wednesday night? I can see equal number meeting over here on Wednesday night with our Royal Rangers, with what we're doing with the girls, that girls club that we do in our Sunday school classes. Get involved with Disciple One Youth or The Gathering. Get involved with Junction K5 that's going on right now, or over in Tiny Town, or over in our nursery. We're going to continue to go to this entire world. One of the signs of the end is that the gospel would be preached in all the world, and then the end would come, Jesus said. So Gail and Jim Durham are very insistent that Morgan come to Haiti this year. So we're going to send Morgan to Haiti, and we'd like for you to go to Haiti with Morgan this year. So let us know if you'd like to do that. Michelle and I had an opportunity to go to India last fall and find these guys that are preaching the gospel to people that have never heard the name of Jesus. There's still hundreds of unreached people groups in the world. Do we have those India photos at all? Just a couple of photos from our trip there in India, working with the kids there in India, working with a man named P.G. Vargas. That's P.G. Vargas right there. P.G. Vargas is an absolute apostle of faith. I got a phone call several days ago that said, how would you like to have P.G. Vargas come and speak at Cornerstone Church? I said, yes. There's not one person on the planet. That's the city of Delhi in India, and represented just in that shot is tens of thousands of people that don't know Christ. But P.G. Vargas has planted 7,000 churches, 7,000 churches through India Evangelical Team in India. And they have a program right now where they're sending out teams out onto the street to minister to children. And they're going out. They have 30 new workers, full-time workers, that go out, and they're going to reach tens of thousands of children this year with the gospel of Jesus. We met a young businessman in India that his name is Ram Chand. Ram Chand is a highly successful, very wealthy businessman, Indian businessman. But he makes lots of money for the sole purpose of planting new churches and reaching unreached people. So he doesn't live as a wealthy man, even though he could do so and makes lots and lots and lots of money. He makes lots and lots and lots of money and invests all of it into reaching new people. And he has two teams of five church planters that are going in and reaching unreached people groups. And guys, I want to be part of it. How about you? There's not one person on the planet I'd rather you hear from. If I can invite any speaker in the world, any speaker in the world to come address our church, anybody, name a preacher, and I'm telling you, I'd rather have P.G. Vargas come preach to you than any preacher I could think of. And he's coming February 1st. You don't want to miss that day. We're going to keep reaching out to the world. We're going to keep reaching out to the world. I called Todd Powers this week and said, do you have any outreaches going on in the city of Chicago this year? He says, we have a big outreach this summer. We've got a church from Texas coming up, and we'd love for you to join with that. We're going to go into some of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. Isn't that exciting? Some of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Chicago, and we're going to reach out with the love of Jesus. Where would Jesus go? I said, what would Jesus do, and where would Jesus go? Let me tell you about safety there. You'll be as safe there as you are in your own bedroom, all right? Why? Because there's going to be, you know, hundreds of people there. You're pretty safe in a great big group. The other thing is this, is actually there's gang members and ex-gang members that will serve as security for you while you're there reaching out in that community. Nobody's going to touch you. You're going to go into the gang neighborhoods? That's where they need Jesus. I said, that's where they need Jesus. That's where they need Jesus. That's our church. That's always been our church. See, we don't have the luxury of rejecting people. But those that are rejected by this world will be embraced by this church family. Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. We're going to go in and make peace by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our job is not to exclude, but to embrace. We're going to go to the needy and the hurting. I've got 5 questions for you today. Who hears the call of God this morning? Question number 2, who will go for Him? 4 questions. Who will deny self, follow Christ? Who will live for others, not for themselves? That's what the Spirit of God said to me. We're going to live for others, not ourselves. It's a year of hope. It's a year of increase. It's a year of restoration. It's a year of joy. Let's sow to the Spirit this year. Would you stand up to your feet for me? I'm not going to do it, but here's what I wanted to do. Here's what I wanted to do, but it's a little too manipulative. What I wanted to do, and I'm not going to do it, say everybody that's all in with this, everybody that's just to live for God, not themselves this year, everybody that's ready to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh this year, everybody that's ready to believe instead of question, everybody that's, come on, ready to serve instead of demand, everybody that wants the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon their life, I wanted to call you to the altar. But that's manipulative. How about you just decide where you're standing? That's me. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm going to do it. Whatever God wants me to do this year, I'm going to do it. Whatever He wants me to say this year, I'm going to say it. Wherever He wants me to go, I'll go. Whatever He wants me to be this year, I'm going to be. I'm going to stop living for myself. I'm going to sow to the Spirit, and I'm going to reap life this year because my due season has come. It's coming. I know it's right around the corner. Say it's due season. Well, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that You would pour out Your Spirit upon this yielded congregation of believers, this church family. Father, those that are away from You, that they would come back to You. Those that are living in the flesh, Father, would repent and come back and live in the Spirit realm this year. And Father God, that we would stop being demanding and we would start being serving. We'd stop withholding and we'd be giving. That we'd take our eyes off of ourselves and off of other people and we'd put our eyes on Jesus this year. Lord, we can't speak for the rest of the year, but I can speak for today. Today, I choose to deny my flesh, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. And if you've made that commitment of faith today for the very first time, then you need to tell somebody. You need to run down these aisles and find one of the pastors and say, I'm making Jesus Lord and Savior of my life today. If you've been far away from God and you find yourself longing and desiring and making a commitment, I'm coming back into right relationship with God today, you need to do the same. Run down here. Let one of us know. Let us pray with you and rejoice with you today. If you've been tempted to give up, don't. It's always, always too early to quit. It's always the wrong decision to rebel against God. You keep sowing to the Spirit. You reap life this year. Your due season has come. Father, we bless you and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We receive all of the hope, all of the increase, all of the restoration, and all of the joy that you have for us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hope to see most of you on Wednesday night.